This is Duane Griffiths. Our next speaker is Jeff Trunnell, and Jeff is with Colorado State University. He's an agricultural business management economist there. I've worked with Jeff for years. He does a lot of good works, and he enjoys working with farm ranch families in the Colorado area. He's going to talk about the interplay of farm business finances and family expenses today. Again, he's had a lot of experience with working with those families. And Jeff, if you're ready, you got your mic on, go ahead and take it away. Jeff, if you're broadcasting and I can't hear you, you might want to click your padlock to turn your microphone on.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Can you hear me, Duane?
Yeah, we're back. Okay, Jeff, you and I both got cut out, but go right ahead, Jeff. Go right ahead.
I see that I'm on. Thanks, John. Sorry, folks, about that little situation there. That has happened from time to time, but we get beyond it, and that's one of the problems with using technology and the world we live in. Well, good morning, everyone. Elaine did a fantastic job of setting the stage for my comments. It's much of what I'm about to say is based truly on family communications, and I think what she had was just invaluable, and I sat very much entrenched in listening to her. As Duane said, I'm an agriculture and business management economist with Colorado State University. I actually began my career with the University of Nebraska, working with Dave Gaylor and others during the what we call the farm crisis of the 1980s. Then I moved to Colorado Extension with a farm management association, which is a part of Colorado State University Extension, working with a small group of families involved with every aspect of their financial management. And as such, when you know their tax situation, quite often you know the intimate details of their family. And then my current position for the last 15 years has provided me with so many opportunities to work with farm and ranch families throughout Colorado, the country, and actually other countries as well. Duane Griffith, during his Ag in Uncertain Times webinar on June 24th, said net profits must be greater than owner withdrawals. That is to say, if profits are less than the owner's desire, equity is eroded by an increase in debt or reduction in assets. Historically, farm families have had a single checking account for both the business and the family. Farm income was used to pay all the bills, regardless of what they were. And this really stemmed from the farm was the family and the family was the farm. And thus, there was such a direct correlation between the two entities. When the farm was flush with money, there was no problem. You just spent what you wanted and you took the trips and you ate how you wanted, etc. But when money is tight, both the business and the family suffer. And usually the farm wins out in those cases in competition for money. What I suggest to farm families is they actually have two checking accounts, one for the farm or ranch and the other one for their family living. That family would determine how much money they would take from the farm on a monthly basis. This would be a part of their cash flow presented to the banker or used for management purposes. And that money is actually taken from the farm account and deposited into the family living account, the personal account. Then the all family living expenses would come from that personal checking account. There may even be a savings account as well. What this is going to do is increase the separation of the farm and family. It enhances the thoughts that that farm or ranch is a business, more so than simply a way of life. And it can actually reduce the strife within the family during times like this, which are very uncertain when there's less than desired income. The first step in determining how much money the family needs to cover family living is to define what family living costs are. Here I have listed some things that are basically family owned or family only. You know, things like food, household supplies, education, that type of thing. They're easy to include in a family living budget. And you can take a larger portion from the farm, as long as it's a part of the plan, during those times when there's Christmas, you're going to take a family vacation or something, the kids are getting ready for school, or even when mom is feeding branding and harvest crews. Food bill goes up quite a bit. There can be some adjustments there. Many farm and ranch families combine family vacations and recreation with participation in grower meetings, attendance at cattle sales, and that type of thing. So then the family needs to decide how they want to split. Much of it, in the U.S. at least, is based on how much the farm or ranch can deduct for tax purposes. But it just simply needs to be accounted for. Again, to quote Duane, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Get it written down, and then you can manage that. Life insurance is another issue that I recommend. The beneficiary is not the bank, is not the business, but is a personal thing, and then a family member can choose to how to best manage that given the circumstances at that time. In those cases where the beneficiary is a family member, I suggest strongly that those premiums be included in the family living budget. Then we move on to those items that are truly business and family related. Quite often in the United States, at least, a house is part of the farm or ranch. There's a single payment or maybe multiple payments, but they're made by the farm, and the house is just a part of that. Insurance is covered under that. Property taxes are paid part of the farm. And even when there's a small repair to the house or something like that, it comes from the local farm supply store, and it's treated as a farm or ranch expense. I suggest that there's some accounting for this, that the family includes a portion of that in the family living budget. This is helpful during tax time when property is sold or transferred. I've worked with a number of families where they're going to transfer that farm or sell it, and they need to make strict accounting for the portion that is personal versus a portion that is business. And of course, if the owner goes into bankruptcy, there's need for this separation. And maybe Norm Dahlstedt will get into that in greater detail next week. Also, what happens quite often is the gas and electric bills come as a single payment. There's one meter on the farm, and it feeds electricity to the shop, barns, and to the house. And typically what happens is a portion of that at the end of the year will be treated for business purposes, and then the rest is a family living expense. Telephones are an issue. The IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, requires or stipulates that the first telephone line into the house is all personal. Secondary lines, in order to be tax deductible, must be strictly business, so that you can't put in a line for the teenagers, which is common, and treat it as a farm business expense. Of course, long distance charges and that type of thing would be deductible either way. Cell phones, quite often the farm will have pay the cell phone bill, and that's okay. It's just that you need to account for that somehow, whether it's an actual financial transaction or it's just the knowledge with a little note at the bottom of your year-end management forms that the farm paid all of the cell phone. Automobiles are another issue that family living costs are easily, in some cases, transferred to the farm and ranch, especially if you get a pickup or something like that. A car is a whole other issue. Fuel usually will come out of the farm tank, and of course repairs are done at the same place the farm vehicles are paid for. I don't stress that or suggest a particular strategy here, just the family needs to know what is being paid for by the farm that is truly a family living expense when they go to measure that. The icon there is a CD of the Taxes for Agricultural Enterprises course that's available at rightrisk.org. This course is also available online or, as I know, on a CD. The first thing when a farm family goes to develop a budget is this communications. What is actually going on? What is their situation? What are the ages of their children? Involvement in schools by everyone? What are the goals of that family? Church and community activities, etc. It's as children get older, those of us that have children of older ages and as watch them go through from elementary school into high school into college, we all know the expenses get greater. And we need to account for that in our budgets as we look into the future. Only after those goals are set and the communications about needs are determined do I suggest that the farm family look at income and expenses on the income side. What portion of their family living expenses are going to come from the farm? And what portion are going to come from non-farm activities? Is there some interest income, other investments, oil income, inheritance, that type of thing? When it comes to expenses, there's really a number of ways to divide these out. I tend to like fixed, regular, and irregular, where fixed are those things that happen every month, including setting money aside in a personal savings account. The irregular are the regular are those that happen every month. Irregular would be Christmas time, purchase of new furniture, Christmas gifts, back to school clothing, etc. One thing about family living budgets, just like any budget, it is not written in stone. So the family can truly continue to monitor it, adjust, balance, readjust, monitor, and move forward. Elaine talked about a number of resources. I've got one listed there, A Lasting Legacy course, another Right Risk product, that talks about some of the communications needed around family councils, family meetings, but also end-of-life issues. And so that would be available for people. This slide is an example only. None of the numbers there are from any families that I've worked with. They're just close approximations of things I came up with. These would be example on food. We've got $300 a month, and then there's $1,100 for basketball season, football season, this type of thing, Christmas, etc. Same thing with health care. The number is just a number that we're going to carry forward. In this case, it's just about $29,000. Here's what I've done for those family living expenses that may be a portion of the farm. You can see under the utilities, it's going to cost $350 a month, less 25% paid for by the farm on the gas and electric. In some cases, what we can do is have the family living budget pay for all of those, and then the farm would reimburse for its share. So there's actually a check or a cash transaction that can be recorded in both places, and then the family has a built-in savings account, if you will. Then we go to the summary. I looked at this and I said, so we have the family living only, those shared expenses. Then in the states, we have an estimation of the income taxes and self-employment. I just used some 15, 4, and half of the self-employment just for rough numbers. I set aside, had this family set aside $6,000 for retirement. So very quickly, based on those numbers, the net business profits required to cover family living expenses is just over $65,000. This is a really scary number to many people. They think they can live on very little. The farm has been covering things, so they've never seen this number in most cases. What happens to if family living cost jump from about $2,400 to $3,000 a month? You can see then the net business profits required to cover family living expenses jumps to $74,000, an even larger number. And I think what one of the take-homes from this is for farm families to truly do that budgeting and see what their family living expenses are. Conversely, if you decrease things, and in this case we dropped the family living only, the personal portion, as well as no retirement. This situation shows zero investment in retirement. These net business profits drop significantly. Now, one thing about these last tables is that there were no allocations for principal payments on land debt or other debts by the farm, which are not tax deductible. So the net business profits, this portion, in this case $38,000, is needed for the family. You would have to increase that for those principal payments. Actually quite difficult in these times of uncertain times. So what can a farm family do to reduce family living costs? Family living actually reflects the way that family lives. Some families eat steak several times a week. Others eat very low-cost casserole-type dishes, hot plate type of thing. Do they eat at the local restaurant after church each Sunday or before ball games? What are their habits? And just like going on a diet, they need to, reducing the family living can be a real struggle at times. And hopefully that struggle is a short-term struggle with longer-term rewards. When I work with farm families, the first thing I do is attempt to have them understand their lifestyle. How do they live? How do they spend their money and what are their priorities? Then we can finally move into actual ways to pair their family living expenditures. There's myriad resources available online for helping families decide how to reduce their individual living expenses. You can simply Google family living cost or family living budgets and come up with this. There's a plethora of tools and fact sheets available from land-grant universities. So we have infinitely many things. I tell people, definitely do not ignore healthcare costs. Make sure you get to the doctor and dentist on a regular basis. Do not forego premiums on health insurance. Make sure you can meet some of the needs of the children and of your own personal desires. Children are going to school. They have their self needs to be building self-esteem. And also the investment in retirement. When I went online to the Social Security Administration, you can see the website there to estimate what you might receive in the United States. The maximum per month payment benefit is $2,185. And this is if the person actually contributed the maximum amount into Social Security, which most farms and ranches that I've worked with do not. They are in a tax reduction mode, so they're consequently not contributing here, which brings up many issues regarding that. Those family living budgets that cost, budgets that work, regardless of financial circumstances, are based on communications and discussion by all of the people involved in that. What are the needs of the family situation and how much can come from the family? Likewise, setting priorities for both the business and personal. Make those choices and adjust. Many families need some help. This can be Elaine addressed the facilitators and coaches somewhat. I won't go into that. But another group that needs to come into some of this are those partners, those business partners, the banker, input suppliers, attorneys, tax preparers. Bring them into that discussion and keep them informed of what's going on. Again, it's important to remember that budgets are not fixed in stone, they are flexible. Finally, John and Dwayne and the whole group, I want to thank you for inviting me to come on. I just was able to touch a few of the subjects a little bit. Here's some contact information. The last two lines there are the my personal website and the Agriculture and Business Management website that we at CSU have. There's the farmmanagement.org site. With that, John, I will say thanks and open it up to questions.
Jeff, yes. Thank you very much. And I want to remind our audience that Dr. Mike Rossman is on next, clinical psychologist. But before we go to Mike, one of our audience questions from the audience, Jeff, is, says most ag operators have personal and business accounts, which you've identified, and there's considerable interaction, and there's difficulty to get people to quit mingling. What do you suggest, and what techniques have you used to get them to think pretty specifically about separating those?
I've had them, I've used a number of techniques. Depends in part on the family. Some of them, if it's still a sole proprietorship, it can be more difficult. But if nothing else, I'll simply start them out on a budget, even if they don't want to separate the accounts. And even when they do, my experience is that whatever checkbook is handiest, you write a check from there. And this has caused real problems, especially for tax preparers. And having done that for a while, it causes headaches, and you have to have stern conversations with people. But start keeping track of some of those family living budgets, and go with the easy ones, and then start into the more difficult ones. This, John, is becoming ever more important as an increasing number of farms and ranches are being transferred into trusts or are LLCs or other non-sole proprietorship type entities in which the commingling of funds is even more rigid, and in fact legalities can be a real problem, especially where that mom and dad are not the sole owners of that. So it's and sometimes I've simply said, you know, folks, you have no choice. You must do this. And then bring in bankers, make sure they're on target. Once I've gotten people to make that transition, even though they're using the most handy checkbook, they actually like it, especially when it comes to better management of the farm finances.
We've had a question asking specific information about organizations serving Southern Idaho, and I'm going to ask that person to send an email to westrme@wsu.edu, and we'll get back to you on that directly. We've had a question. If someone is interested in looking at family living, how much is needed over time? Can you point to some resources or some examples out there that folks could use?
I can't name those right off the top of my head. I looked at them over the weekend when I was preparing this. I will put those on the Ag and Uncertain Times website, and we can get those uploaded, and we can I will pull those off over the next couple of days.
One member of our audience did suggest that one place to do that is at the University of Minnesota's FinBin, F-I-N-B-I-N, finbin.umn.edu, and run a family expense count, and you can get some real numbers there.